Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. Ah, there you are. It is indeed a good morning because we are gathered together and God is present in this place. I'd like to draw your attention to the insert in your bulletin. You'll find lots of happenings there. I want to highlight one thing. Our Children's Summer Sunday School is collecting items for Open Table Nashville. And they are in desperate need of these things to distribute to folks who are living on the streets. And so I invite you to note that list of things, and if you're willing to contribute, you'll find information in that insert about how to contribute. Our church offices will be closed on Tuesday in celebration of the 4th of July holiday, so we won't be here, but we'll be here the rest of the week. And now I'd like to invite Kristen Sterling, who is a representative of our Staff Parish Relations Committee.
Don't exactly have what I need. Do you know where it might be? We are welcoming our new clergy this morning, Brandon Baxter and Carol Cavan Dillon. Carol is joining us from Christ Church in Franklin, Tennessee. She is going to be our new senior pastor. Please welcome her when you see her today. Brandon is a Middle Tennessee native and joins us from Glendale United Methodist Church. He is going to be our new spiritual formation pastor. Please welcome him as you see him today. Thank you so much.
Now let us open our hearts and minds to worship God this morning.
Thank you. Christ welcomes us this day. To be healed and to heal, to be forgiven and to forgive. To tell one another and the world that God's presence is at hand.
Let us worship God.
Join me in the collect of purity. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word and deed against thy divine majesty. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. Have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy great mercy hast promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn to thee, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words the Scriptures say to all that truly turn to the Lord. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The peace of Christ be with you. You are invited to pass the peace of Christ to those around you. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as written your word, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Old Testament. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son.'" But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The word of God for the people of God.
After weeks of anticipation, it is so good to be with you all this morning. Ever since I got that call from Harriet Bryan in the month of March telling me that I was projected to come to West End, I've been anticipating and praying about this day and what word to proclaim among you. And as I look out at your faces, there are some who are familiar to me. I have some folks who taught the high school I went to, friends of my parents whose faces I recognize, friends I've sung with in previous choirs, but many of you are yet strangers to me. We don't yet know each other's stories and each other's names, and because of that, and because of starting a new job and trying to learn my way around and all the different ways of doing things, I've had just a little bit of anxiety coming into this day. I didn't know how much anxiety I had until I woke up on Saturday morning from a dream. Now, how many of you have had one of those anxiety dreams where, like, you go back to high school and it's the day of the French exam and you realize you hadn't taken the French class all year and you have no pencils and that kind of, yeah, some of you have had these kind of dreams. It was one of those dreams. I came here and I had my arm full of robes and I was looking for my office and I couldn't find my office or where I was supposed to do anything. So I just found this little place under the stairwell and I could hear that Matt was playing the organ and it was time to start the service. And I looked down and I had shoes that didn't match and they were dirty and horrible. And I can't wear these shoes. And I'm trying to get everything ready and I looked behind me and my dog Gabby had followed me into the church. I remembered I'd left a gallon of milk in the trunk of the car, and so finally I woke with a start. Oh, and I had that feeling it was just a dream. It wasn't real. Thank goodness. And then that was followed by this sense of peace and this reminder of how much this congregation has already welcomed me and my family. How much Michael has done to prepare the way and tell me about you all as a congregation, how much the staff has done to help me learn my way around and make sure I'm going to turn left when I'm supposed to and stand up and not sit down this morning, which I did at the 8:30 service. But everyone has been so gracious and shown me and my family such wonderful, warm hospitality. It's clear to me that you all know what kind of hospitality we're called to. As the people of God, the ability and the commitment to welcoming the stranger has been part of our calling as God's people from the very beginning, from way back in Genesis, all through the law of the Torah, through the New Testament. God has consistently taught God's people to welcome the stranger. The book of Leviticus even says, "Love the stranger as you love yourself." Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me." You may remember that wonderful parable at the end of Matthew's gospel where Jesus says, "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was a stranger and you welcomed me." The Apostle Paul says, "Show hospitality to strangers. Welcome the homeless poor into your homes. And you have shown me and my family that kind of hospitality." And when we think of hospitality, sometimes that word doesn't mean what we want it to mean. Sometimes the word hospitality conjures up for us, you know, cucumber sandwiches and Martha Stewart. But when God talks about hospitality, when Jesus and the Apostle Paul talk about hospitality, they're talking about something much deeper and more radical than that. And the best image that I can come up with that really comes to us from the scriptures is hospitality means making room at the table for a stranger. It reminds me a little bit of my grandmother. My mom's mom had 7 children of her own, and one son that she inherited because her husband adopted a child from the orphan train before they were married. So she had 8 children in her home growing up, and by the time I came along, there were 26 first cousins and all these second cousins, and anytime we gathered in her home, if you brought a friend or if she heard that maybe the preacher didn't have somewhere to eat after church, she would always say, "There's always room for one more. Always room for one more at the table." That's hospitality. And we see it lived out in this wonderful story of Abraham and Sarah. I just love this story. I think they're just so adorable with each other in this story. Now, you may know about the Abraham and Sarah saga. It takes place from Genesis 12 on through several chapters. But in case you've forgotten the chronology of things, let me remind you. Way back in chapter 12 of Genesis, God chose Abraham and Sarah. Out of all the people on all the earth, God chose them to be the ancestors of a new nation that God would bless so that they would bless others, to be the father and mother of the nation of Israel. When they got that call, Abraham was 75, and Sarah was 10 years younger. When we meet them in chapter 18, Abraham is at least 100, and Sarah is 90. And still, she has had no child. There's been no offspring. They've been on this wandering journey to Egypt and back, and all these different things have happened, and the promise still hasn't been fulfilled. And so one day, Abraham is sitting outside of his tent in the heat of the day, still waiting for God's promise to be fulfilled, when 3 passersby come to the door of his tent. Now we know, as the readers or the hearers of this story, that this is God It says the Lord came. And we may think maybe it's three angels, three messengers of God. Maybe it's God in the Trinity already showing up in Genesis. That's pretty cool to think about. But Abraham doesn't know that this is God or angels or messengers from God. All he knows is that there are three strangers who are walking by in the heat of the day with nothing to drink, nothing to eat, no place to rest. And so we see him responding with great enthusiasm to welcome them and to bring these strangers to his table. He runs out to greet them and bows down before them and begs them to come in and have a little something to drink and to eat. And they agree. And this is the moment that is just my favorite in the whole story. He's just so excited and so, he wants so badly to host them well that he goes into Sarah at the kitchen and he tells her how to make cakes. Now you take three little bits of flour and stir it up and knead it and make cakes. And this reminds me so much of my parents. Some of you know my parents. They've both passed away. But my dad retired from First American Bank when I was in college. And I remember calling home one night and seeing how things were going. And I was talking to my mom and I said, well, how's it going with Dad's retirement? And she said, he is about to drive me crazy. It's like I've never made a sandwich before. He comes in the kitchen and stands over me and says, no, now spread the mustard out a little bit more. Would you just get out of my kitchen? And I can see Sarah doing the same thing. 90 years old, you think she's made cake a few times. But Abraham comes in and tells her how to do it because he's so excited and he wants to do well by these visitors. So then he runs out and gets the fatted calf and he prepares this feast for these strangers and he stands under the tree and watches them, which to us may seem a little awkward, but really Abraham is taking on the role of a servant, ready to replenish their drink or provide more for them, respond to whatever their needs are. Isn't that beautiful hospitality? And they're total strangers to him. He doesn't know if they pose a threat. He doesn't know that they'll be able to return the favor or pay him back. It doesn't matter. His job is to make room for them at the table. And he does. And lo and behold, what they have to offer him is exactly what he and Sarah have been praying for. They reassure Abraham and Sarah that yes, God's promise is still with you. And for the first time ever, they get more specifics. This time next year, Sarah will have a son. What a blessing for these faithful two who have waited and waited to hear from God. That is the kind of hospitality that we are called to practice each and every day to any stranger that might come into our midst. And I know already how many ways that you as a congregation are welcoming the stranger into your midst with Room in the Inn and Launch Pad and those Sundays when someone new walks in the door and this moment of passing the peace. And I've heard stories about people being welcomed and invited to lunch and the kind of hospitality that you have shown to me and my family. And I think about all of the cars that drive by this church every single day. Thousands of people back and forth around us in this neighborhood. And how might we together as a congregation spread the word in our community that you are welcome here? Here we gather this morning around a table that belongs to Jesus Christ. He is our host, and every one of us here has a place at this table. You have been so gracious to say to me and my family, there's a place here that has Carol's name on it, and David's name, and Tate's name, and Martha's name. How might we do that together to those beyond these walls? To say to someone, you have a place to belong, a place where you can be known and loved just as you are, and challenged to be who God wants you to be. There are so many people in our world passing by these doors every day who have no place to belong, who don't know that they're welcome anywhere. And we have the joy and privilege of being the messengers of our host, Jesus Christ, to take those invitations out into the world. I look forward to doing that together with you. With the enthusiasm of Abraham, with the skill of Sarah, with the compassion and grace of our host, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. And now will you join me? Stand as you're able, and let us affirm our faith in this God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the host at our table. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of God, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad that you are here. We hope that you'll join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions that you might have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary following the service. You can look for their blue name tags. If you're a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you're invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussions following this worship service. They will gather in Reed Hall, again through the doors to your right. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer requests there and indicate if they're to be shared or are confidential. You can place them in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad that you find near the center aisle down the pew if you haven't already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew toward the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone that you may not know at the end of the service. God's generosity knows no bounds. With this assurance, let us praise God with our tithes and offerings this morning.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift
them
up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father Almighty, everlasting God.
Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by the one offering of himself, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and didst institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until his coming again.
Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these gifts of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his passion, death, and resurrection, may be partakers of the divine nature through him.
Who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and we had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me." Let us join together in prayer. O Lord, our heavenly Father, we, thy humble servants, desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merits and death of thy Son Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and thy whole church may obtain forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and lively sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. And although we be unworthy, through our manifold sins, to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen.
The body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation, cup of life.
Let us continue in prayer together. We
do
not
presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to partake of this sacrament of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we may walk in newness of life, may grow into his likeness, and may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
This is our Lord's table, and you are all welcome, friend and stranger alike. You are invited to come by way of the center aisle after the choir has received the elements. When you come, kneel at the chancel rail, extend your hand. You'll receive both elements, first the bread, then the cup. You're welcome to stay for a time of prayer if you choose. When you return, we ask you to return by way of the side aisles. I would remind you that as you come, you do not have to be a baptized Christian or United Methodist, but if you are seeking a new or renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you're welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. If you need a gluten-free option, please come to the lectern side, tell your server that, and Bobby will be glad to serve you on this side. Now, we take a communion offering at each of our communion services. This month, that offering goes to our minister's discretionary fund. We sometimes get dozens of requests a day, certainly dozens a week, for help. And we try to offer help as we can. And this fund helps us to do that, to help pay electric bills, to help pay gas bills, to help provide food or shelter for individuals. If you would like to contribute to that, there are two offering plates here next to the front pew. You're welcome to leave your offering as you come to communion. If for some reason you need to be served in your pew, just catch my eye or the eye of one of the ushers, and we'll be glad to serve you there. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's walk together for a while and ask where we begin to build a world where love can grow and hope can enter in to be of healing.
peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord. Almighty and most merciful God, from thee comes every good and perfect gift. We give thee praise and thanks for all thy mercies. Thy goodness has created us, thy bounty has sustained us, thy discipline has chastened us, thy patience has borne with us, thy love has redeemed us. Give us a heart to love and serve thee. Today we show our thankfulness for all thy goodness and mercy by giving up ourselves to thy service and cheerfully submitting in all things to thy blessed will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Dear friends, today we welcome Carol Cavendillon and Brandon Baxter, who have been appointed to serve as our senior pastor and pastor of spiritual formation. We celebrate our returning clergy, Aaron Racine, Nancy Hawthorne Parker, Lisa Guak, and Becky Peeler. We believe that they have been prayerfully appointed to serve at West End United Methodist Church. Carol, Brandon, Aaron, and Nancy, as elders, you have been sent to live among us as bearers of the Word of God, ministers of the sacraments, and sustainers of the love, order, and discipleship of the people of God. Lisa and Becky, as deacons, you are to represent the ministry of servanthood, to proclaim God's Word, and to equip all Christians to be in ministries of compassion and justice in service to the community. Today, do you reaffirm this commitment in the presence of this congregation?
We do.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, as a people committed to participate in the ministries of the church by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, will you support and uphold these pastors, surrounding them with your love and care? If so, say we will.
We will.
Aaron, accept this Bible and continue to be among us as one who proclaims the word. Brandon, take this water and baptize new Christians in this place. Nancy, take this bread and cup and keep us in communion with Christ and his church. Becky, take this towel and basin and lead us to be servants of all. Lisa, take this candle and lead us in our mission to be the loving light of Christ to this community and all the world. Last Sunday, we celebrated the ministry of Michael Williams, who served us faithfully for 7.5 years, and released him from his responsibilities as pastor at West End United Methodist Church. Michael, we now invite you to officially pass the mantle to our new senior pastor, Carol Cavendillon.
This vestment was given to me by R. Harold Hibbs. R. Harold Hibbs was a longtime member of this congregation, was executive director of Christian Educators Fellowship for many years, and he gave it to me with instructions that I was to wear it as his memorial service. Now, those of you who knew R. Harold know that he was a little short leprechaun of a man, and I'm not so much. And I told him it would never fit. And yet, I think it's a magic vestment, because when I put it on, it fit me, and it appears to fit whoever puts it on. Go figure. It's my pleasure today to pass this mantle to you, Carol, as a symbol that now you will be leading and guiding and shepherding this congregation. And I'm delighted and honored to do so. You're my sister, and I love you, and I can't wait to see what God is going to do through you. This is a little easier to look at than it is to put on. There we go.
Joy and a privilege to receive this from you, my friend and brother in Christ, and to step in among you as one of you, to love and serve Christ together in this place, to take on this mantle as your senior pastor, is a calling that only God can help me fulfill. But with your prayers and our love for one another, I believe God has great things in store for us. So blessings upon you, Michael, in this next season of your journey. We'll see you soon. And blessings on us as we continue the journey of this place together.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray together. Eternal God, strengthen and sustain us and our ministers together with Carol, Brandon, Nancy, okay. You have sent to serve with us at West End. Give us all patience, courage, and wisdom, so to care for one another and challenge one another, that together we might witness the loving light of Christ in the world, living together in love and offering our gifts in your service.
A tie that binds us all together as one, that calls us around this table to be one. And at this table, there is always room for more. May we go and invite others to the feast. May we go in the peace of Christ to share that light and peace with the world. Amen.